Welcome inside another edition of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. My name is Trevor Sikkema, and with me is the ghost of John Ledyard. But I think we somehow managed to go from you are John's substitute to John has been fired to now John is dead.
The question is, did I kill him?
Yeah. See, maybe he started to come back. You know, JC had second thoughts about firing John from the podcast. You didn't like that very much. You know, you took care of it.
And he got whacked. And who's to say who ordered what, you know, and who sent anything to who? No money changed hands.
You live in the Northeast. And I'm just saying, Northeast has a history of some mob affiliations, some mob ties, some gang-related activities.
I'm just loving this right now because I grew up in the Northeast, but I currently live in Chicago, which is definitely the Midwest.
Oh, yeah, you're in Chicago now. I totally forgot you're in Chicago now.
You got to the same end of the story, but yeah, actually, you just went to the complete wrong city.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, Chicago would have worked out well. All right, so for those who aren't familiar with the extra voice that we have here, this is Benjamin Solak. He is a wonderful colleague of mine over at the Draft Network, and he has been substituting for John all week, RIP. And since he has been substituting for John, and today is no different, Ben, you get the pleasure of trying to catch up to me in the NFL lines of the week. Because every Thursday, John and I look at the upcoming lines for the NFL games, and we pick all of them. I believe I'm still in first. I won last year over him. I got more games right than he did. And I think I still have a little bit of a buffer on him. I'm not sure as of last week who has the lead, but your picks will count for John. So depending on how this goes, if he ends up beating me by a few games this year, I'm just going to blame it on you. But then if I win, you know, I'm going to say that I beat both you.
Listen, it's no surprise that John called me in then to pinch hit here because he obviously wants a W. And I'm excited for when it's the end of the year and it's close. Okay. And you guys get to bicker about whether or not my substitute week was the straw that broke the camel's back.
There you go.
That's how it's going to go down.
Hey, but before we get into some of the NFL lines, I wanted to intro the good people of this podcast to our Senior Bowl tracker that we have over at the Draft Network. Folks, it is that time of the year again. The Christmas season is upon us, which can only mean that it's time for Senior Bowl things. And I believe they sent out the very first wave of Senior Bowl invites last week or early this week, whichever it was. I can't remember. But
it was a couple days ago. Like Nagy was just like, "Yo, the invites are out." And then
It was Monday then. And yeah. So now we're starting to see. Not only who is invited, but who has accepted already their invites to the 2019 Senior Bowl, which is always a really big spectacle. I mean, guys, it's not just another all-star game. I mean, Ben, was that your first year there last year?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Ben was there last year. I was there the last 2 years, I believe. I think it was 2 years. This is going to be my third year. And it's crazy. NFL head coaches, NFL scouts, GMs, NFL Network, all kinds of broadcasters, former players, current NFL head coaches, literally everybody is there. Everybody descends onto this small little town called Mobile, Alabama, that has one bar and one barbecue place to eat that everybody eats at. Shout out to Kyle Krabs, who tried the Big Pig Challenge a couple years ago. Nearly killed himself. Thankfully, he didn't because we'd be one short of the Draft Network. But all that to say, it's Senior Bowl time. We have how many do we have right now? As of when we're recording this podcast, which we'll surely have more if you were to go over to the Draft Network and look, which we will be continuing to update the Senior Bowl tracker, giving you guys the list of accepted invites, and then other names that we have found who have been invited that maybe have not accepted theirs yet. We currently have 4 accepted invites and, I believe, 7 other pending invites. Ben, does anybody on this list kind of catch your eye right off the bat on these early invites?
Yeah, big one. I think like the first real big fish that they landed has got to be Gerald Willis. Defensive tackle out of Miami, and he's an exciting add because Willis is a guy, I think you know his background a little bit better because he was
great,
a Florida.
Baby. Gator, right? Great, yeah. Baby.
So what he was, he threw a hand, I'm pretty sure. He like some quarterback scrambled onto the sideline and he hit him, right?
Some quarterback.
Was it? Who was it?
It was Jameis Winston.
Oh, Jameis. All right.
It was Jameis.
Soon
it
to be free
was
agent Jameis Winston.
It, oh, you might not be wrong. It was actually the game at Florida State. It was Jameis's, I think, last game at Florida State because it was that last game of the season. And he's running to the sideline. He's scrambling to the sideline. He is a good 5 yards into the UF sideline just because he was scrambling out of bounds. And he runs into Willis, and Willis just straight forearm punches him
Wow.
straight to the helmet. And Jameis was kind of like, "Yo, what just happened?" And they threw the flag. They threw Willis out. And then before you know it, he was off the team at UF and ended up at his feet in Miami, which I believe is where Willis is from. He ended up going and going to Miami. Kind of an afterthought until the very beginning of this year, and was really right off the bat when they were playing LSU that first game of the year. Jarrell Willis popped off the tape, did he not?
Oh yeah, I mean that was the talk of the town. Obviously, that was the premier matchup, but that was prime time. And Willis just came out and started dominating the game against what's a solid interior LSU offensive line. And even since then, I think that there are several interior guys who are ranked above him. But that doesn't much take away from Willis. It speaks to the strength of the class. And obviously, Willis is a guy who I think tips the scales at around 280 is the most updated number that we have for him at the Draft Network. So it's going to be interesting to see what he's able to bring. Obviously, it's a very under tackle sort of mold. And you'd like to see him come in a little bit heavier when measurables come through. So that's a big one for Willis. And then also it comes down to being able to sit in front of teams and sit in front of scouts and say, like, yeah, I did that and that was really stupid. And this is what I've been doing since then to become, a more measured and controlled player on the sidelines, which is something the Senior Bowl is very valuable for a lot of these players. So Willis is the big one, I think, talent-wise. A lot of these other names are names you kind of expected. I think O'Shane Zaminis out of Old Dominion, the edge rusher, is a guy you thought would be here. He kind of needs that. Same with Rocky Sin. You got to be excited Rocky Sin got the
I
invite,
like
huh?
him, man. He's really interesting. You can tell, he's really raw, but the style of play that he has, at least from the tape that I've seen of him, the little bit of Temple tape that I've been able to watch, he almost has like the highest variance of cornerback styling. Like he plays press close man coverage, gets physical with guys, can play one on one. He's got that kind of mentality, and so you can tell this guy's really raw, and he's got a really interesting story behind him, and how he really got to this point. But you can tell that he's raw in his teaching, but the mentality and just the overall style that he has as a cornerback, the molding, if you will. If you look at a guy like Rocky Sin, and you look at him as a guy that you can mold in different ways, it's a really good starting point, I think, for him. So this is, I'm really excited for him at the Senior Bowl just because he's going to get to go up against so many different types of wide receivers. And anytime corners get kind of different looks outside of their normal leagues and where they've played with a comfortable defense, you find out really who they are and their natural ability. And so it's a tough test for corners at the Senior Bowl, but I'm really interested to see Rocky Sin play because of those reasons.
Yeah, so like you said, so he first played football his junior year of high school. He was a state champion wrestler up till that point. Got him on the football field, FCS product. Now he's there at Temple, and he's one of the single digit jerseys at Temple. They
Yeah,
reserve those
he's got the best
jerseys.
jersey number, dude.
Yeah, no, but number six, right?
Oh, I thought he was number two.
Pretty sure he's number six.
Is he? Okay, let me look. Let me look.
Wow, what a moment! Google
Google,
Images.
Googling on the podcast again. Oh, he is number six. You're right. He is
There
number
you go.
six.
But the Temple program reserves all those single-digit numbers and then give them out to players who are high work ethic, high weight room guys. And Yassin is one of those players.
By
So
the way,
that's
he
fine.
looks, like if you just look at his face, looks like a grown ass man. Looks at,
Oh, he's ready to
looks
go.
like he's got three kids. Looks like he's like 38. I don't know, man. He looks like a
Wow.
high school coach.
One contract player. Can't be trusted. Over the hill.
No, get out of here with that.
So yeah, I think that like those are the names that kind of stand out to me. Jerrell Willis, and I'm excited to see what Yassin's got. Those are the two big ones.
Orie's got a pending invite, and he'll be interesting. I don't know if he accepts his invite because he's already regarded as perhaps a first round corner, maybe a fringe first round corner. Certainly, I would think a top 50 guy, just because of his size and the way that he's played over the last couple of years. Dalton Reisner, I'm excited about because that was a guy that I was a big fan of.
You think they play him at tackle or guard while he's there?
I mean, you're at the Senior Bowl to figure this stuff out, right? So I would certainly hope to play him at
Right.
tackle. You know, I mean, so I've never had worries about Risner at tackle. Kansas State's just in general this year has been super underwhelming, but I don't know. I watched Risner's tape, especially last year. I haven't watched a ton of them this year, so maybe something's kind of stood out, and I might change my stance of it before we get to Mobile this year. But I really liked his tape at tackle. He was a right tackle last year, and I really liked his tape there last year. And so Scott Franz plays that left side, so he's never had to. He has to switch over. But I don't know. I would like to see him continue to play at tackle. I really would.
I mean, yeah, Senior Bowl is going to be the spot because the question is you know, athleticism and the ability to move in space, and you get those one-on-one drills and you get the different camera angles and you really have an opportunity to see how well he's able to frame and mirror rushers in pure space, right? Like, we always talk about those drills as being drills that are a disadvantage for the offensive tackle or the offensive lineman in question. So it's a good spot to push Risner and test him. So yeah, he's got a lot to earn there, I think. That's for sure.
You got any other seniors? This is kind of putting you on the spot. You got any other seniors that you hope to see in Mobile?
Yeah, I get two names off the top of my head that are big ones that I really want to see. JoJo McIntosh is the safety.
Okay, there you go. There's your Pac-12 guy. I see you.
Yeah. All right, I'm going for at least one Pac-12 guy. It's only one. JoJo McIntosh is the guy that I think so he's the safety for Washington, and this entire Washington secondary is either draftable, or once they are eligible, they're going to end up being draftable. You know what I mean? But what you have with McIntosh is a guy who plays down a lot in the box, and he's a good hitter. I have no idea what his coverage athleticism is. Just like I can't put a great tab on it because he's asked to do it so infrequently, and he's so often just playing into a deep half. And even then, like, I have some questions about his range, and so I'd love to see what he can do in coverage, and that's going to be something that I'm focusing on while he's there. And then the next player that I'm desperately hoping to see at the Senior Bowl is Deebo Samuel, the wide receiver out of South Carolina. He's a redshirt senior now, and he's a guy who it's a little tough to figure out how fast he is on tape. He's not super explosive, but his yak ability, his returning ability stands out, and so you really want to see him move in person against other corners, against other guys. We have a good sense, you know, their one-on-one speed, how they handle. And then also, he's a guy who's got some injury questions, and so obviously at the Senior Bowl you have an opportunity to get weighed and measured. We get to see how big of a guy he is, but also use the opportunity to answer some of those questions, at least for teams. And so Deebo and JoJo are two guys that I've kind of been watching, who players that I want to like. Samuel much more so is like a round one potential guy, and McIntosh is like a day two guy, but I got questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Deebo is a good candidate, and I would actually expect Deebo to be a Senior Bowl guy. I wonder if a guy like Josh Allen is going to go. You know, he's
done so much for his stock already.
I know, that's why, like, going into the year, I would have said that Josh Allen's a real good Senior Bowl candidate. But now I wonder if he even goes. I wonder if he even comes out.
It's tricky because I feel like edges, a lot of the time you miss out on edges because testing in like the 3-cone and the 10-yard split is so important for a lot of teams when they're evaluating edges, that those edge defenders want to get combine training right away before they start doing, you know, instead of doing the Senior Bowl, especially if they're high up picks like Allen's likely going to be.
Yep. No, I'm with you. All right. So you ready to get into this thing?
Born ready. Let's hit it.
All right. Okay. Before we do, I mean, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. That's why we're about to get straight into the lines of who to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't always know who's going to win, and we take our best guess here. But if you think that you guys know better than we do, better than myself, better than Ben, better than the ghost of John Ledyard, RIP, remember, who you are betting on is just as important as what you're betting with, and that's why you got to go to MyBookie. That's why we always tell people, MyBookie is the best place. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season if you're going to lay down some cash on some NFL games. They've been in the business for years. They have great online reviews. Their mobile site is super easy to use. So lay down some cash, win big today. We would obviously only recommend a service that has been good to us here on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. That's why I'm urging you guys, head over to MyBookie. You win, and they pay. They've got in-game live betting. It's the most rewarding perks in the business. For you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet on the over-under and how many fantasy points a guy is going to get. So not only can you reap the fantasy benefits if you got some sleepers, you can put some cash on them and some actual cash as well as your fantasy game. So go to MyBookie. They'll match your initial deposit dollar for dollar. So if you put in $50, they'll give you an extra $50. You'll have $100 to play with, but only if you enter the promo code Locked On when you sign up. So visit MyBookie. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On. You play, you win, and you get paid. So speaking of, getting right into it, the Thursday night game, the Green Bay Packers traveling to the 12th man, Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks are favored by 2.5. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I'm not. I like Seattle in this spot, a fair deal. Seattle's a team who obviously 4-5 at this point, but they've played Los Angeles tight twice now. And I think coming off of the game they put out against LA, you shouldn't necessarily be feeling like at a low spot off of a loss. I think you should be feeling a little strong in that regards. Green Bay is a team that I have a ton of issues struggling recently, especially in the passing game. I don't think they have good play opposite Jerry Alexander at their opposite corner. And clearly something with the McCarthy-Rodgers marriage, I don't know whose exact fault it is, but really the offense has been struggling in that regard. Randall Cobb is potential out for that game. They have a couple other key starters who are out. I like Seattle. If you can get that line at 2.5 so you get the field goal, grab it. That's a good spot. I've seen it at 3 at other places so far.
You know, logic agrees with you here. Logic agrees with you here because I would have made all of the points that you just made. However,
of course,
I have a principle that I have to stand by on this podcast, Ben. And that principle is you always take Aaron Rodgers getting points.
There it is.
So I got to do it. I can't go away from it now, even though I do think that Seattle probably, you know, there's a reason why they're favored here. I think that the matchups are more favorable for that home team. However, you know.
No, I hear you. It's scary.
Can't get away from Rodgers getting points. I just can't do it.
It feels weird, but this Rodgers offense doesn't seem as potent as it once did, in my opinion. That's reflected in stats, but just I don't really have that end game Rodgers trust,
you know. And I can't wait for him to prove you wrong. All right, getting to the Sunday games, Carolina Panthers traveling to the Detroit Lions. Panthers on the road are the ones favored. They're giving up 4.5 to the home Detroit Lions. What do you think?
Carolina, currently 80% of bets on this game have been on Carolina. That's probably the highest number I think you're going to see this week. Besides the KC game, actually, is getting more play on one side. They're hammering Carolina. It makes a ton of sense, I think. Detroit's at a point where it seems like the front office with the Golden Tate trade, with the performance in recent weeks where they've really struggled to come out, it seems like this team is in future thinking mode, whereas Carolina still has very much so has legs in the NFC. This is a spot I like Carolina as well. I don't like betting favorites as much as I am so far, but I typically like to take dogs. I'm gonna take Carolina though with 4.
Yeah, Lions haven't won in a month.
It's kind of, I've heard that's bad. I'm getting from the booth now. That's bad. That's not good.
They lost to the Bears last week, the Vikings the week before, and the Seahawks the week before that. The most they've scored in that 3-game span has been 22. I don't think they have the secondary players to keep up with the mischief that Carolina likes to run with a lot of their speed and
fun offense,
squeeze,
man.
Guys. So I, too, am going with the Carolina Panthers. That's 2 for Carolina there, both the favorites. Dallas Cowboys traveling to the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta's at home, favored by 3.5.
I don't know how to feel about this one because I just watched the Cowboys beat the Eagles, which was not a pleasant viewing experience. And then it wasn't a pleasant viewing experience the second time when I had to go back and watch the All-22. But I don't believe in this Dallas team. It seemed to me like Linehan and Garrett were coaching for their jobs, and they came out with as aggressive a game plan as I've ever seen of them, and I appreciated that. Do I trust them to put 2 weeks in a row there? And on a short week, let's remember that. Obviously, Atlanta came out and looked really weak against Cleveland, and I acknowledge that. But Cleveland also, in the process of coaching change, looked a lot different of a team, I think, than what Atlanta expected to see on film. I also believe, I'm not positive, don't quote me on this, I think Atlanta's getting a little healthier. I think they're getting some health back with some players returning.
Well, they got Deion Jones back.
There you go. So
he's one of the most premier defense players in the league.
He's kind of a significant player. Yeah, I think that's a bit. I like Atlanta, a third favorite. Again, I'm upset with myself, but I like Atlanta taking 3 here.
Man, 3.5. It feels like it could be an either way game, but Dan Quinn is just such the better coach, and Atlanta's roster is such a better roster. Even if you have Byron taking out Julio, even if you want to call that a wash, Calvin Ridley is too good.
That's a little too healthy for Byron.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, even if you wanted to, that's what I'm saying. Like, even if you wanted to err on the side of Dallas and just say that, okay, let's just say that Byron takes Julio out, Atlanta's still got too many offensive weapons, I think, to not sustain more points than Dallas can put up. And so I think Atlanta covers their middle of the field better than the Eagles did against them, especially with Deion back. So I guess I'll go with the Falcons as well. We're both going the Falcons there. Why are these games out of order? Why are these games? I guess stick with the 1 o'clock games. I almost read the 8:20 game, and that's just that gets rid of all the hype.
My bookie's throwing you curveballs.
Yeah, what's going on here, my bookie? You got to get in order here. Tennessee Titans at the Indianapolis Colts. My God, you couldn't pay me to watch this one, Ben. Indianapolis
Colts
at home.
Playing well. What are you talking about?
Colts at home, favored by 1.5. Could not pay me to watch it. If you said, hey, Trev, here's $5, watch the Tennessee-Indianapolis game. No.
Okay, well, I feel like $5 like isn't a lot.
But if you gave me
still,
10, then I'd do it.
I feel like this is interesting. The Titans' offense has gotten, I think, better. I think LaFleur is kind of coming into his own here as a coordinator now. He's getting better sequencing play calls.
Coach Matt LaFleur?
Oh, excuse me? What? Just sliding that in there? Listen. I think Indianapolis and Tennessee are both teams that are on the rise right now. I don't know why you're not about this.
No. Get out of here. No.
Who are you? Okay, well.
The problem is, hold on. I think, wait, let me look at the, what's Indianapolis' record right now?
They are 4-5.
Okay. Because here's the thing. You know how John likes to get hella aggressive with burying teams, like funerals for teams?
Yes, I know. It's one of his favorite things to do.
Okay. Well, he convinced me to bury the Colts like 4 weeks ago.
I mean,
Colts are like 2 games out of the playoffs.
Wow. So we're going to have zombie Colts in the playoffs?
We're going to have
is
the zombie damn Colts in the
playoffs.
This better teach Ledyard a lesson, man.
Because Ledyard, listen up.
Every single week. I swear to God, we're like 2 weeks away from Ledyard going, hey, I know the Patriots are 7-3, but they're not going to win the Super Bowl. Let's bury them.
It's so, I mean, like, I understand, and it's good because you guys are like foils in that regard. But yeah, the Colts feels preemptive, man. They won 3 straight,
it's
I feel
totally
like.
Totally preemptive, and he tricked me. Yeah.
Okay, they were 1-5, and now they've won 3 straight, including a divisional game against the Jags, and now it's the Titans. Obviously, if they beat the Titans, they're
boy.
At a point where, yeah, and then they'll have the Texans in a big early December matchup. Ledger's, admittedly, at 1-5, it makes sense to bury a team. Wait.
But that's 6 sure, games into the season. Like, he's just, okay. He's just.
I will say, in Jonathan's defense, as I am in his seat, I'm pretty sure when y'all buried them, he did admit the fact that they were playing Buffalo and Oakland in the next 2 weeks, and both those games should have been wins, and they were. So I think he anticipated them being around 3-5, 4-5,
right,
and yet still
here? Who are you picking here? Ledyard's the biggest Titans fan in the world because he needs the Colts to die. So who are you picking?
Interesting spot. Tennessee is 6-3 against the spread this season, and they're 3-0 in their last 3 games. Indianapolis is only 4-4-1 against the spread, but they're 2-0-1 in their last 3 games. So both teams are coming in really hot in terms of what they've been pushing out against the spread in recent weeks. However, the Titans have been doing that as an underdog, and the Colts have been doing that as a favorite, and the Titans are the underdog, and the Colts are the favorite. So I don't have any bead on this game. It's very tricky. However, Tennessee just beating New England. Obviously, Vrabel is a Belichick candidate, a Belichick offshoot, a guy who I think that game was meant a little bit more personally for him. I view this as a bit of a letdown spot for the Titans. I'm going to take Indianapolis with the 2 points at home.
I am too. Houston Texans traveling to Washington. Houston on the road, favored by 3.5. Washington's about as depleted as you can get. From an injury standpoint,
I think this Washington team is garbage.
Like in its current state?
I said I think this Washington team is garbage.
So in its current state?
I think just generally, but yeah, in the current state, it's worse, clearly.
No. If they're all healthy, Washington's good.
Washington is 6-3.
That's the NFC East in you talking.
Okay. Well, also, Washington is 6-3. And they in the six games they've won, they were the first team to score, and they never gave up the lead. And in the three games they've lost, they fell behind quickly, and they never recouped it. There has never been a lead change in a Washington Redskins game this year. So, firstly, they have not actually been, like, in a game that was relatively competitive, I would say. Like, obviously, like, so those games can be close, but still, they never had to, like, get beat down and get back on the horse. You think this Texans team, you think Demaryius Thomas, D-Hop, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Miller, you think this team is going to fall behind to the Redskins? I don't think so. I think the Texans jump out to a lead, and I don't believe in the Redskins' ability to cover that lead. They have not yet done it this season.
So you're taking that Houston's got to overcome 3.5. You're still taking Houston?
Yeah, I like them better if I could get it at 3, because then I get the push. But I'll take it at 3.5. I'll take Houston. Washington is not good.
Oh, man. This is tough. All right, fine. I'll go Houston. Fine.
Washington is bad.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to the New York Giants. I will be at this game. The Giants, it's going to be cold. I'm not ready for it. I'm a Florida boy. The Giants favored by 1.5.
Can I take the over?
The over-under is 52.
Tampa right now is 7-2 overs in a year where line setters have been perfect setting NFL overs. It's like at 50%. Tampa's 7-2 in over games. So, yeah, take the over in this game. But if you're looking to bet it, this actually feels to me like a spot where, yes, I am going to take Tampa as a 1-point dog, simply because you put me in an end of a game situation with two defenses who can't really stop opposing teams and two quarterbacks looking to power their team to a win. Who am I picking, Eli or Fitzpatrick? Fitzpatrick. So I'm taking Tampa as the 1-point dog. That's a line that I like.
Man. Both of these teams suck.
Giants coming off a short week off a game that they shouldn't have won.
I know, but... All right, fine. I'll take Tampa.
God. I need to stop convincing you to take the same bet.
No, it's not even you. I'm just like... I wish I could go against you. It's just that I don't like. It's just bad situational team. I mean, like, you're making smart picks. We've only disagreed on one right now, which is pretty lame. We gotta.
It's the first one, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Pittsburgh at Jacksonville. Pittsburgh's favored by 6. Sheesh. It's a lot.
This is another one. Yeah, this is another one where it feels weird to kind of like keep fading the Jaguars here because you feel like they're a better team than they should be. But listen, Jaguars are 0-4-1 against the spread in their last 5 games. Pittsburgh is a November team. 6 on the road? You wouldn't have kind of expected this looking at this line previously. But yeah, I'm still going to take the Steelers cover 6-point spread. Steelers also, by the way, have over that same 5-game span have covered every single spread.
Yeah, the Steelers hitting their groom. Jacksonville is just straight up not. Feels like... This is really like the unraveling game, right? Because Jacksonville and Pittsburgh have this kind of, I don't want to say unspoken rivalry because it's absolutely spoken, but it's like one of those kind of like hidden rivalries or like newer rivalries just because it was in the AFC Championship game and, or whenever they played. Was it before the AFC Championship game? Which one was it?
Yeah, so when they played in the divisional playoff.
Divisional round.
So, that was the super tight game. Yeah. And the game of the regular season, Jacksonville beat them around the barn.
Yeah, and so there's just, if Jacksonville loses this game, that locker room is gone. Like, they're going to just mutiny each other. Like, this is...
Jalen Ramsey already out here saying it was
fun. But
that's
what I'm saying. Like, if they lose to Pittsburgh at home, which is the team that they have talked the most crap to, it just feels like... they're going to unravel. Like, they are going to implode. And that's going to happen. So I'm going to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers. Where are the 4 o'clock games? 4 o'clock games. Denver Broncos at Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers are favored by 7. Wow.
Fade Denver on the road, man. don't believe in this Denver team. We got 70% of the bets, somewhere around like 65% of the money, I think it is, on Los Angeles.
No, I'm touchdown. Going Denver. I'm going Denver.
Denver?
I'm going
tell
Denver.
Tell me how this Denver team scores points. Tell me how they do it.
I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it, but Phillip Rivers is the king at close games. And so, like, I would tell you the Chargers are going to win, but by more than 7? And I get a push?
Chargers have won each of their last 5 games by more than 7. Or no, wait, that's not true. 4 of their last 5 games.
Yeah, well, it's going to be 4-6. Denver. I got Denver.
All right, good. At least we got some dissonance here.
Yeah. I got to be different a little at some point. Oakland Raiders.
It's a shame. So who usually reads them out? Because he always has to pick second.
No, he picks first. He always picks first. Because wow. I read them out. I read them out, and then he'll respond. But we go back and forth. I don't really right. set him up in that regard. Unless I have to down the stretch, you know. Then I'm gonna pin everything in my advantage, of course. Oakland Raiders. Good God, you couldn't pay me to watch this game. Oakland Raiders.
with you on this one.
At the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals are favored by 5.5. How bad are you as a football team if Arizona is favored by 5.5? Sweet Jesus.
The worst team in the NFL against the spread, the Oakland Raiders, going against the team that is undefeated against the spread, 2-0, since they moved off their offensive coordinator. This is just this to me, like, you would have to put a gun to my head to make me ever bet on the Raiders. Fade the Raiders, fade John Gruden, fade veteran players trying to leave the organization. Fade. Picking the Cardinals.
I'm not betting on a John Gruden football team.
So bold if somebody were to.
Not doing it. Philadelphia Eagles travel to New Orleans in the Superdome. New Orleans is favored by 9.5.
Biggest line of the week, baby.
Yikes. How do you feel about it?
I'll tell you how I feel about it. I have watched this Eagle team, you know, for a long time, and watched them win a Super Bowl, and I've seen them come out and compete every single week, even though the season's not going well. And they've got a ton of talent. Carson Wentz playing out of his mind. Better stats than he had last year when he was in an MVP campaign. And the Saints look like a team that obviously, like, they've been they've been on a tear, and it's got to end at some point. And Doug Peterson has Sean Payton's number. He beat him in multiple golf tournaments. He's embarrassed him. This is the game that the Saints have to wear their away jerseys at home, and the Eagles are wearing their home jerseys because Peterson bet the jerseys on a golf tournament with Peyton and
that's
won.
That's very funny.
So, yeah. So, all that being said, if I could only make one bet this week, it would be taking New Orleans minus 9.5. They are going to hang 50 on the Philadelphia defense.
Taking Philly.
I appreciate the gumption. I appreciate your little moxie.
I'm taking Philly.
I would like... It'll be interesting to see this because I have... Obviously, Washington losing to Houston. And I think Philadelphia is that's a 1 o'clock game. And then Philadelphia will be heading onto the field for a 4 o'clock game.
Mm-hmm.
So if Washington loses, Philadelphia has an opportunity to pull within one. Really, they should have been, you know, at that spot already by beating Dallas, but they have the opportunity to pull within one.
Well, they should have been there by beating the Panthers, so.
Or the Titans. 3-4.
That's why they're keeping it within 9.5 of New Orleans.
Philadelphia, it is true. Philadelphia has not yet lost a game this season by more than one score, which is the only saving grace, I feel like, in this entire conversation, because that's obviously a good sign for this team being competitive against good teams. However, I think the Saints are the best team in the NFL right now. So, yeah, New Orleans going to put Philadelphia starting at corner. Rasul Douglas in his second start this year.
Okay.
And maybe Sidney Jones in his first start outside ever, if he's healthy. If not, it's Chandon Sullivan, rookie undrafted free agent out of Georgia State. Those are the two starting outside corners.
Nah, he's got it. Minnesota Vikings at the Chicago Bears. This is the Sunday night game. Chicago favored by 2.5. Give me Minnesota, 100%. 100%.
That's a very interesting one. And it's very interesting because... this is a team in Chicago now who has to really, this is an opportunity for them to kind of put a stamp on the fact that they are the premier team in the division, right? Like, this is like a huge gut check win for them.
Yes.
That being said, it is very difficult to fade a Minnesota team that has been strong against the spread in the past few weeks, is getting the majority of the bets, and is getting the majority of the money earlier. I will say it will be interesting to see how far this line goes. But yeah, if you can get Minnesota around 2.5 and 3, yep, that's where I would lean on this one. I will say I'm not nearly as confident on it as you are.
100% Minnesota. That's easy. That's the easiest one. Monday night game in Mexico. Just kidding. It's not.
Fooled you.
Kansas City Chiefs at the Los Angeles Rams. Kansas City is getting 3.5.
This is my second easiest pick of the week.
Kansas City?
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Kansas City is the best team in the league this year against the spread.
Yeah.
Kansas City, Los Angeles does not have corners.
What the hell happened to Marcus Peters, man?
So
he's bad.
Here's the thing.
Teams are literally going after Marcus Peters.
I think that the Marcus Peters hate has been a little bit overblown. And the reason I think this is because a lot of it stemmed from Michael Thomas bullying him. I think that says more about Thomas than it does Peters, to be very frank. Michael Thomas is a guy who I've been standing for since the Ohio State days. I love Michael Thomas. I think he's developed into a stellar wide receiver one in the NFL level. I think he's a top five guy, whatever. Peters has always been a high feast, high famine, attack the football, make dumb plays corner. It's always who he is. He has games like this, and then because he's like, you know, an arrogant SOB, like all good corners are, he's going to come back and have a 2-3 really strong game stretch at some other point in the season. That's just like kind of the nature of that volatile player at that position, in my opinion. Like, if he continues down this path, we'll have a conversation, but I think we're taking too small a sample size with a player who turns out really high variant sample sizes. All right. Also, yeah, the Rams have no corners in case he's going to put it up on them.
I'm with you. Kansas City. There it is. Okay. That's all of them. That's the lines.
So we differ on 2 or 3.
I think we differed on 3 total.
Right.
I think 3. So there's your ground to make up. Perhaps John Ledyard, if you can hear us wherever you are, you're hoping that Ben saves you there. Ben, I know we got the Super Show tomorrow, but dude, thanks for joining me this week, man. It was a lot of fun. You were a great substitute and good I want to say permanent replacement for John, depending on when he comes back. This is a blast, man. This is a lot of fun.
Now it's been awesome to be John's surrogate, knockoff Ledyard, you know, Walmart value brand version of Ledger.
Great.
And for the first honest evaluation now of Jonathan Ledger's role on this podcast, John's obviously the man and he kills this podcast. And I was very glad to step in for him for a week. And John, of all the people you and I know, nobody is more deserving of a vacation for a week than John Ledger, even though he's still out here just like, you know, tagging Senior Bowl guys, whatever.
This is true.
I'm very glad to hop on for John. And I hope he's going to come back well rested with gusto, and he's going to bring home the season strong. And then, man, I'll be back on the podcast, man. Draft season.
Yeah,
of course. I know. I'll be swinging by.
No, you'll be around. But, yeah, Ledger, you better get his ass back to work on Monday. That's all I got to say. We got the Super Show tomorrow. Ben is with us. It's a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of – as sometimes some athletes like to say, you know, or even some fans like to say, like, well, if you're such big critics of them, why don't you go out and do it? Well, that's the whole theme of the Super Show this week. Why don't you go out and do it? And so we go through a bunch of different kind of football scenarios that we run ourselves through, give ourselves an honest evaluation of how we might fare as NFL players in our current state. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you listen to the Super Show. Be checking the Draft Network all weekend. We're going to have coverage of all the college football games, all the NFL games. As Senior Bowl guys start accepting and getting invites, we're going to update that tracker as much as possible. So we're going to try to have the most up-to-date list for you there. Then, of course, next week, John will be back, and you can get back to your regularly scheduled programming. So until then, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.